Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful show in store for you with an amazing guest. I'm really looking forward to bringing on. But first, of course, we do have our blog post from a couple of years ago. So let's get right to it so I can get to my guest. So the title of today's blog post is Through Our Own Pain, We Learn to Empathize with the Pain of Others. A tragedy is a tragedy, even when it happens to someone else. We think we are safe when we are far from conflict. Yet a tragedy to one of us is a tragedy for all of us. The illusion is that we are separate, that we are not affected by another's suffering. That is a lie. We are all affected by all of the suffering around the globe. One person's pain is everyone's pain. We may not feel it in the moment. Someone else's pain may seem far away from us. Yet eventually, the pain will come around to us in one form or another. We will experience pain, perhaps not the way someone else is, but pain nonetheless. This is not a reason to hide from pain. For pain is a great teacher. It shows us where there is something that needs to be changed. The greater the tragedy, the greater the lesson, and the more freedom we will feel when we are on the other side of the tragedy. What challenges us the most about tragedy and pain is the judgment that it is bad. Because it is uncomfortable, we tend to make it wrong for even existing. Yet our lives would not be the same were it not for the pain. It would not be there to drive us to change and improve, to call us to be better people, and to heal our wounds and feel empathy for those in pain as well. From when we are in the greatest pain, our hearts are open to others in pain. We can empathize with them, for we know what it feels like to lose a loved one or home and have our life disrupted in such a drastic manner. It is only by experiencing such pain and tragedy ourselves that we can truly understand someone else's suffering. When enough hearts open to pain and suffering, there will be a great awakening, a great movement in the direction of peace. There may never be peace throughout the entire world, but there can be more peace for more people. So when we lay down to sleep at night, we will know that we have done the best we could to alleviate suffering, both ours and the suffering of others as well. Is that not worth the price of experiencing our own pain? So I wrote this blog post a couple of years ago. I believe it was shortly after the attacks in Israel. Since I have family living there, I feel a particular connection to the events that go on there. I've been there many, many times. My mom, I've talked about on the show before, my mom moved there the last 9 years of her life before she transitioned. And I guess this blog post was sort of a response from all the talk about who's right and who's wrong and why this happened and the response. And now 2 years later, we're hopefully on the verge of a peace agreement. But after so much devastation, after so many lives lost on both sides, and you can be sure this is not the end, because there's still fear and pain and hatred on both sides. And as long as that separation exists, how can we know peace? But also, I've seen so much in my years of doing the healing work that I do, that when we experience pain and suffering and tragedy, and it causes us to seek help, it causes us to look for healing, it causes us to find a different way to live. And inevitably, when we find the way through and we find the healing we need, we are a bit more humble. We're a bit more open to feeling and seeing another person's pain. And we can empathize and relate and connect to other people who've experienced loss and tragedy. It's probably one of the few things in the world that actually we all share in common. No matter where we come from, no matter our color of our skin or our ethnic background or where we grew up, the one thing all human beings experience is pain and suffering. Thankfully, life is not all pain and suffering. But when we go on our own healing journey because of the pain we've experienced, because of the loss we've experienced, hopefully it leads us to a place where we can relate to others, relate to their pain, and find a little bit more in common with those we've thought we had nothing in common with at all. And I guess this blog post is as accurate today or as appropriate today as it was 2 years ago when I wrote it. It's kind of funny the way that works. So that's my blog post for this week. Again, the title of it is "Through Our Own Pain, We Learn to Empathize with the Pain of Another." And of course, you can always find my blog post on my personally branded website, theconsciousconsultant.com, as well as on the station website at talkradio.nyc/blog. And now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show internationally renowned intuitive healer, Reiki master teacher and channeler, Natalie Namaste. With over 25 years of experience and clients ranging from celebrities to spiritual seekers around the world, Natalie brings a rare gift of wisdom and compassion to her work. Guided by 120 angelic beings of light that she channels, Natalie supports thousands in connecting with divine guidance, awakening consciousness, and finding the courage to embody their soul's truth. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Natalie.
Thank you so much. It feels already so deep and very special to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I always like to start off my shows by sort of getting a little bit into my guest's background so that my audience can relate and kind of feel for like how you came to be the person who embodies the gifts that you have today. Because I think most people don't like wake up one day and go like, oh, I think I'm going to channel 120 angelic beings. You know? So I'm just curious, like how did your spiritual awakening come about? Like, when did you first notice a connection to something a little greater than yourself, and how did that develop?
I really feel like it's stages. Awakening isn't like for me, and I notice for many others, there's a moment of awakening, meaning like a moment in your mind that you expand and you realize, oh, I'm not just the voice that's speaking in my head. I'm not just the emotions. I'm not just the character. There's something more. I'm something bigger. And so the first big expansion I had was when I was about 5 or 6 years old. And I have this, it's like an energetic memory in my body that I remember. Oh, I got goosebumps as I'm sharing this. That I was in the back of my mom's car, looking out the window, looking at all the things that we've created in this reality, the school, the buildings, the trees, all the things. And then I asked myself this question. If there isn't all of this, what is there? And whoo, it's such a strong sense of like dark and light at the same time. And I remembered, and I feel like remembered means bringing all the parts of you back into the moment, like remembering all the parts. And so I came back into this oneness and experienced this great expansion, and then whoop, back into the back of the car. I'm Natalie again. And it just evolved and developed throughout my life. And there's many quite incredible moments. Like when I was working in a coffee shop, in a shopping mall, I would see people walking past and I would see this light and color all around them. And yeah, and so I went to the optometrist to double check that my vision was okay. And he did a check and a test, and he's like, oh, you got 20/20 vision. So I was like, oh. So then I went to a chiropractor who was psychic, and he just confirmed what I was already feeling. And he's like, Natalie, you're psychic. You're seeing beyond the particle, the form. You're seeing the energy, what everything's made of. You're seeing auras, chakras. And the more and more people would confirm it, the more and more I would expand and experience. And one day at the same coffee shop, a lady came to me and she took my arm and she said, Natalie, you've come down to earth to help with ascension, and you've got 120 angels that are supporting you. You're going to teach and guide and help others to remember the truth of what they are. And that was a big one. So yes, many little moments like this with massive experience of energy embodied.
And were your friends and your family aware of what you were experiencing while you're going through all this, or did you keep it very quiet and private?
It was so exciting. I couldn't help but share it. Some people were like, oh, crazy. My mom was kind of interested, but then sometimes scared. She's also suffering from bipolar and depression. So, it was like sometimes yes, sometimes no. My dad was a constant, and he was like interested, and that helped me to kind of trust it. And then a lot of friends actually were like, wow, how do you know that? How do you have access to that information? How do you know things about me that I hadn't shared with you before? So it was kind of proving to me that I was tapping into something way greater than just like the smallness of the finite lower mind or the ego or the conditioned part of the mind. There was something happening here, and it definitely more people were interested in it and agreeing with it than not.
Interesting, interesting. Did you ever have any doubts along the way? Like, did you think you were going crazy, or did you really just have that sense of knowing that no, you're not crazy, it's just, your abilities developing?
I did have doubts all along the way. So every time I would have like an a feeling of expansion, of like, oh, this is incredible. I'm connecting with all these angels. They're channeling through. I'm getting these messages. There'd be a contraction, like in the solar plexus area, and I'd feel it in the throat of this other voice in my head going, but is this real? And do you deserve to be sharing this with others? And what's so special about you? And so every time that happened, I had to really face that like darkness in me and that voice that was constricting and keeping me limited and face it. And there's many moments where I've had to just sit and cry and feel all that so that I could release it and then trust it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, it's time for us to take our first break. When we come back, I'd like to just talk a little bit about like what practices you developed, like what did you learn that helped supported you in developing these abilities, and what that trajectory looked like how did things develop over time, okay?
Yeah, perfect.
Wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. And we'll be right back with my guest, Natalie Namaste, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Reiki Master Teacher and Channeler Natalie Namaste. So, Natalie, you started to see things. You kept getting this confirmation that you do have some special abilities or uncommon abilities. Did you seek out anybody to study under? I mean, like, did you look for practices to help you with developing this or being able to get a better handle on it?
Yes, definitely, because it was coming through so strong and so fast. Like, a lot of light would channel through my body, and I'd get goosebumps and tingles, and sometimes even shake a little. And because I was then accessing information just by spending time with the person, I could like read and feel their energy and know things. I knew that I needed a foundation and to be grounded so that it wasn't scattered, or also that I could really honor where a person's at. You know, it's not my place to go and just read anyone's energy. It's only when I'm invited or like we're in session. And so there's a lot I needed to learn, especially I was young. So this is like I was in my teens and I was experiencing this huge spiritual expansion. And so I found a teacher in, I was living in South Africa. I'm born South African. And I did a holistic healing course with her, And on the last day, we're working with a client, and the client had gone gangrene from her one leg down, and so it had been amputated. So I was working in the aura of her one foot and hand on the other foot, and I got this message that if she doesn't stand up on her own 2 feet, if she doesn't stand up for herself and take responsibility for her life, and this was with regards to her relationship and her partner, then her other leg was going to go gangrene. So I went and I told my teacher, and my teacher was like, wow, I'm going to take you under my wing and help you to develop this because you've got a gift. Because the thing is, we actually can all expand to the level that we're ready for, and we can all feel energies. Like when you walk into a room, you can feel. But we don't believe in our abilities. And so for me, I feel like I was born into this life kind of already believing and knowing, like, I'm here to be a healer, to be a teacher, and I remembered it from such a young age. So my trajectory was quite fast. It was like, find teachers, do courses, workshops, retreats, as much as I can, as quick as I can, to grow as fast as I can. And so I had massive growth. So from that teacher, I then trained in Reiki, which Rei means universal and Ki is energy. And it's the universal energy. You get attuned to it so that we already channel a certain amount of light through us and we can send it to people for healing. When you're attuned to it, it's a practice that was rediscovered in Japan in the late 1800s. And when you're attuned to it, you can channel more light. And so I then started channeling more and more light. And the things that, the practices that really helped me are two things which everyone can access right here, right now. One, maintain awareness. Because what I realized is that we actually are the energy, the ocean of energy before the thought, before the emotion, before the action. We're the ocean of energy before that. And so I started to connect to that primary energy. And it takes awareness, because then what happens is you're aware of when you have the thought. So I went through depression, a lot of sadness. And it was ancestral from my mom's side. It was innate. It was part of my journey. I was meant to experience it. As what you read earlier, it brings great apathy and understanding and empathy, and for anyone going through it. And like, as a healer, when anyone is suffering, part of my gift is that I can really feel where it's affecting their body, what they're going through. And I love that I can. I love that I can dissolve from being separate and be in that moment with someone. And that's what heals. But it's taken me my whole journey to get to the space. And so I went and I did this Vipassana, which is a 10-day silent retreat. Oh boy, because I was depressed. I wasn't depressed in the way that I couldn't do things. I had this deep sadness that would just, when I was alone by myself, I would just cry. And I was like, I don't know if I belong here. Like, surely there's another place that I come from. This isn't home. And there was like this longing and missing, and I felt alone. It was like this emptiness. And I'd only feel it when I was alone. When I was with other people, I was distracted. So I decided, no, I've got to get to the root of this. And so I went to Vipassana. They take away your phone, you don't have pen and paper, you meditate for about 9, 10 hours a day, and you're not allowed to talk, no eye contact, no body suggestions or anything. Just you're with your own mind, and you face your own mind, and you create a very strong awareness. And so in that 10 days, I dissolved so many patterns and conditions and limited beliefs that were making me feel unworthy or controlling my whole life. And there was, I remember on, it was the evening of day five, and now we're in a hall with 80 other people meditating. And all of a sudden, this dark voice inside of me says, don't worry, Natalie. If you don't get through this and you come out and you're still depressed, you can just go to a hotel room and hang yourself like you've done in a past life. And boom, I was so affected. I was crying. My body was shaking. And so the teachers gently took me into the back. And I was crying and releasing and releasing. And then when I could speak again, I said to the teachers, "Will that voice ever come back?" And they explained that when you truly face the shadow, the darkness that's inside of your own ego, the own lower part of your mind, the conditions, when you face it with awareness, the light that you are dissolves those patterns and you are freer and lighter. You let go of that baggage. And I have never had depression like that ever again. I have felt sadness, but not depression like that. So I really healed and released it. And the tools that I use daily is maintaining awareness of what the lower mind is thinking and telling me, and then consciously choosing if I want to feed it light and believe what it's saying, or if I want to retract the light that I am and not feed to that. So that's a powerful one. And also the breath, you know, that we've got the greatest tool with us every day. We don't use the lower mind to think ourselves into breathing. Higher consciousness is breathing through us, a greater intelligence. So when we connect with that breath, we're connecting with that expanded state of consciousness that we truly are. And so, you know, sometimes when we're going through a hard time and we're suffering, just taking a massive in-breath and sighing it out can shift our energy and release that contraction and that fear that we're sitting with.
How long did it take for you to realize, like, this is your life's mission, that you're going to be working and helping people to heal and being a teacher?
So I was born remembering. Like, I get a strong sense that I made sure that I didn't forget, and I made sure that I maintained a very strong connection to the angels. So with that, there are momentary lapses of forgetfulness. You know, we have it every day where we all of a sudden are attached to the thoughts we're going through. And so there's been many times in my life, like, I feel like when I was about 12, 13, I feel like I just wanted to fit in. And so I kind of forgot my purpose. But it was always in underlying, and I couldn't forget it for too long because it would come up and I would just start feeling and sensing strongly. And so then, like, later on in my teens, I went to a college. I was about 16 years old, and someone gave me the book Celestine Prophecy. And as I was reading it, yeah, it's such a good book. I was reading it. It was creating activations in my energy, and I was just starting to see more energy, light colors, receive more messages. And because of that, then, like, I was in alignment with my soul purpose again, and I knew, okay, I'm a healer. So at that point, I knew I was a healer. And I remember saying to one of my mom's friends who was a psychic, I said to her when I was 18, I'm like, I'm a healer. I can help people. I want to help. And she was like, well, you've got life experience to still have. So you're going to really step strongly into your power as a teacher when you're 33 years old. And it's interesting because when I was 33, I did my yoga teacher training. And then after that, I started teaching everything that I've learned. And I really spent my whole life just learning, as I love learning and growing and going to retreats. So, yeah, so it really, at 18, I stepped deeply into my power as a healer, and at 33, deeply as the teacher.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, it's kind of amazing how, and I think I've heard it from many, many teachers that I've talked with over the years on the show, that there's always some point in time, usually around high school, where you want to fit in. And so you kind of turn it off for a while and just, you know, try and be normal. But then there's always something that brings it back when you're as gifted and as, I would say, on as far along on the path as you are, that it always comes back and it always ends up really being your path for life. We're going to take another break. And when we come back, like, let's get into What do you actually do for people? Like, how do you work with people? And what have you seen in terms of the kinds of things that people come to you for? Are they the same as they were 20 years ago? Are they different? And see, like, maybe what we can share with our audience that could help them in today's environment, in today's world. Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Natalie Namaste, and we'll be right back in just a moment.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Natalie, you mentioned how at 33 you did your yoga teacher training and you really started to share your gifts fully with the world. What would you say is sort of the primary thing you work with people? Are you primarily an energy healer? Are you more a channeler? Are you giving the messages? Like, what is really the gift that you share most with people? I understand you share a lot of things, but.
Yeah. It feels like a combination of those two. So, like one of the biggest sessions that I offer, like for one-on-ones, I call it Reiki and channeling. So I connect with someone and then I hear what I ask them, like what's called them to the session with me. And as they're sharing, I can see and feel past lives or ancestral patterns or their own mental beliefs that are blocking them. And then I can sense and feel where in the body, which energy centers are stuck. And then I use energy healing, Reiki, to bring in high frequency light to release anything that's standing in the way of them being able to live in their full expansion of consciousness creating. So, yeah, so it's a bit of energy reading and like receiving direct messages from the soul and then Reiki.
Gotcha. And what kinds of things attract people to come to you? Do people come to you because of physical pains, because of emotional pains, or just curiosity? Like, what do you find opens people to having even just like start the conversation with you?
Yeah. So a lot of people are coming to me because they want to release blockages, because they're becoming aware that their mind is looping them and keeping them in a certain state. And they know that there's something more, but they're struggling to achieve it, like to live like a more fulfilled life. So that then does include physical symptoms. Many people will then share, they'll say to me, you know, I've got pain in my hip or I've not been sleeping, or I'm struggling to find a job that actually brings money. So it can be some real third dimensional things that they're experiencing that we can unlock where the energy, emotional, mental block is then creating that experience for them.
And does the answer or the thing, does it come to you as a voice, as a knowing, as a feeling?
It comes as three things. I hear it through my ears. So I hear frequency changes. Mm-hmm. I hear a voice or words through my own mind, like telepathically brought through their soul to mine. Then I feel. So I'll feel in my body. I could feel where their pain is. So they might not mention that they've been having like a scratchy throat, but I'll start to get a scratchy throat. So I'll feel in the body, and then I will see. So we'll be meeting and I'll see in the camera, I'll see energies around them. So I'll see with my physical eyes, and then I'll also close my eyes and I'll see images that only they really know what it means. They're just like, wow, how did you know that color and is what I'm drawn to, or that's what I've been seeing all the time? It's very interesting.
Fascinating. What do you have maybe one example of a really miraculous healing session or something that, you know, really goes beyond our sense of reality that's happened in a session with your client?
Yes, many. I'm just trying to see which one's coming up. So there's one where I was working on yachts. I was a stewardess, mm-hmm. and the gentleman who owned the boat was royalty. And he had a stressful life and was thinking a lot. And his wife was like, oh, we need a masseuse. But we were out at anchor and we couldn't find someone. So my captain said, look, we can't get a masseuse straight away, but we've got someone on board who does Reiki. Would you be open to that? And they said, okay, we'll give it a try. I don't know what that is, but okay. And so I went into his cabin and gave him Reiki. Now, he hadn't been sleeping for years, full-on insomnia, years and years of maybe an hour a night. Yeah. And he'd never heard of Reiki. Like, he hadn't asked for this. So, you know, you don't have to be totally open to it. You just kind of have to say yes. Mm-hmm. And I gave him a full treatment, balancing his chakras, and then left them to relax. And then that night they all went to bed. The next day I'm up serving breakfast. He's still not awake. It then gets to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He's still not awake. When he woke up, he was like, wow, what did you do? I haven't slept. I feel like it was decades he hadn't slept.
Wow.
And in his immediate response was like, Reiki, every time I'm on my boat, and can you come and move to where I live? Yeah, he wanted me to be his personal Reiki healer because it was so profound to be able to sleep after not sleeping for so many years. His whole energy changed. He was smiling, whereas before he always had like a frown here. His eyes lit up. I mean, the ripple effect from that was massive.
Wow. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, so many people can be so skeptical about it, but when you can have like a real tangible effect like that, that really shows how the energy work has not just a spiritual significance to it, but an actual physical response to it, like not being able to sleep and then suddenly you're able to sleep, or like always having a pain and now the pain is gone. Like that, to me, I feel even the most hardened skeptics, you know, have to recognize that there's something to it.
Exactly, yes.
I'm curious, you've been doing this a long time now. I'm not going to say how old you are, but have you noticed a difference in what people come to you for, like what challenges they're having, or is it pretty much the same that it's always been?
So yes and no. So yes, there's a thread of the same, but also I'm feeling there's like a massive soul evolution happening on our earth. So I'm noticing more and more people coming to me that are more self-aware. So maybe in the past, people would come to me and they're like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I'm helpless, like help. Now people are coming more empowered and they're going, I'm aware of myself. I'm aware of that I keep experiencing this pain here, or I keep having this belief that's blocking me. So that's what's changed. But one of the big things that I noticed that seems to everyone seems to have it, is unworthiness and the self-saboteur. So that we have this pattern that one, we don't feel worthy, you know, we don't feel worthy to be heard or to be seen or to stand up for what we believe in or to do what we actually want to do in our life. So sometimes a person will take a job just to earn a living, but it's not the passion, it's not the desire of the soul through the heart. And that's because of this pattern of unworthiness. And that pattern of unworthiness is what causes us to block abundance, because there's so much money. Money is mind made. It does grow on trees. Mm-hmm. We block it because we don't feel worthy. And so, yeah, it's that pattern. That's huge. And the self-saboteur, I notice with that, is like that we've got this ingrained pattern that kind of like if you've got the snake eating its tail, that it's the ego, the part of the mind that is eating itself. And in a way, this pattern is needed, because in order to wake up and remember that we're not our thoughts, we're not just the small finite character, we're a massive expanse of infinite light having a human experience. Mm-hmm. And so that pattern of sabotaging ourselves actually causes so much suffering and blocks and stops us that it causes us to go, enough is enough. Why am I so cruel to myself? Why is my internal voice speaking so harshly to me? Why is it blocking me and stopping me? And so with that, we then wake up and we realize there must be something more. And we start asking deeper questions. Yeah. And when we ask deeper questions, we expand and we start dissolving those patterns that are blocking us.
Yeah, it's so fascinating when you really pay attention to somebody's language, like how they talk about themselves or how they talk to themselves. If you listen closely, you can notice that most people, I mean, there many people are self-aware and they may be gotten past it, but most people actually talk pretty harshly to themselves and of themselves. And many times I notice when I'm working with people and they say something, I'm like, well, do you think you can say that a little more kindly to yourself? And they like, oh, well, oh, yeah, I guess I can. And it's just so fascinating that once you point it out to people, that then they start noticing it. But it's very easy to fall back into that pattern of still being unkind and still being very harsh with ourselves, isn't it?
Exactly. Like often I'll say to someone, hey, be kind to my friend. And that totally gets them out of whatever they were in.
Yeah. Does that sense of unworthiness, and it's very pervasive, I notice it a lot with the people I work with as well, does that come from some childhood wounding? Is that a generational trauma that's been passed down? What do you feel is kind of like the root cause of this sort of endemic sense of unworthiness?
Yeah, I feel it's ancestral. And I also feel that, you know, from the moment we're born and we start to learn and walk and explore, like at that point, we're clear. We're a clean, clear slate. Whatever we believe in, we can create, and we feel so free. And then we start to like learn these conditions of, oh no, don't touch that. Don't do that. No, you can't eat that. And immediately we're starting to contract. Oh, and no, that you cannot do that. We hear that so much and we get ingrained with that. And with that, we start to believe that we can't create big and wide and a beautiful dream for ourselves. We start to think, oh, I've been taught that I have to do it this way, and then I have to go to school, and then I have to get a job, and we're like in a wheel, like we're just going around and around, and so it's been on our earth as a vibration, as a belief, as a pattern that's been taught generation to generation for hundreds of years. And now I'm feeling that children are being brought up with parents that have done the work on expanding their mind and not believing themselves small. And then they're bringing up their children saying, yes, you can do that. Like, this is your world. Create whatever you want. I'm not here to control you. I'm here to guide you. And so the parenting's changing. So the children are changing. And so the pattern is changing.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, it's time for us to take our last break of the show. When we come back, maybe you can tap in to your guidance and see if there's a particular message that wants to be shared for our audience, for people who are listening live or listening to the recording of this show. And then I do have, if we have time, some questions about the future and a little maybe prognostication, okay?
Okay, perfect.
Wonderful, wonderful. So everyone, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, and we will be right back with our guest, Natalie Namaste, to wrap it all up in just a moment.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Lurice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Natalie, I would love if you would to channel your guidance and see what message feels appropriate to share with the audience today.
I would love to. Okay. On Earth, collectively and individually, you are all going through a great quantum leap, a timeline shift. In your hearts, you have called in something greater than what you've been used to experiencing. There is a large amount, thousands and thousands of you on earth who are desiring a world that is more peaceful and heart-led. And because of this deep desire, a response is taking place energetically. When you magnetize in a higher timeline, anything that stops that timeline, that doesn't match the frequency of that timeline, has to be dissolved. And this is what is happening on your earth right now. That is why you are seeing more discomfort arising, or more changes, or people in higher places doing things that might not be from the heart. It is because all of that darkness, all that shadow within the mind needs to be seen so it can be dissolved, so that it's no longer an energy within the collective and within the individual. And as you let go of that baggage, your whole frequency is lighter. It's all about frequency match. Higher timelines don't exist in the future. They are in the present moment. And when you are an energy match to that timeline, you experience it. What you believe is what you see. So, whatever you truly believe in your heart, and when you get a great desire and an inspiration to quantum leap and to experience more, what happens is that you also go through a birthing canal. And that's not always comfortable, but it is the death rebirth process. Humanity is going through a major death rebirth, releasing so many outdated conditionings and patterns to set you free to magnetize in that higher timeline, which looks like schooling where teachers will be teaching this type of information, where people are living from the heart rather than off of fear from a contracted mind. And from there, so much is available. Communicating telepathically, your waters will naturally clean and clear. The vibration of the earth will be higher and lighter. There will be less volcanoes and earthquakes. All of that is happening right now because as you shake up any low energy that could be blocking you from your higher timeline, so does Mother Earth shake up and release old patterns that have been here within her field. The beauty is that you are a divine creator and you are creating your own reality. It is a dream, a mind-made dream, and you get to dream big and wide. So beautiful beings of light, remember the truth of what you are. And in the remembering of you, you will expand with so much light and magnetize in your highest timelines. They are available to you right here in the present moment.
Bravo. Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Such a pleasure. Wow. My whole room has turned into energy and I just feel waves of light moving through my body. Maybe others are feeling this too.
Yeah. I kind of felt that during the channeling. You know, it's interesting because the channeling, the message, you know, a lot about what we're seeing in the world and the chaos that we're seeing. And how many people sort of on this path, it kind of feels at times like the dark is overtaking the light in the moment. But the message I've heard from many teachers, many people I consider truly tapped in, is that we're going through a rough time, but what's on the other side of this is something very beautiful. But sort of my question is, you know, I'm not a kid, I'm not so young anymore. Am I going to live to see that other side? And so I'd love to know just your intuitive sense, your feeling, like, are we decades away from shifting? Are we months away? Are we years away? Like, how long does it feel like we're going to be in this chaos before something truly transforms on a global scale?
What it feels like is that it's quite close, because before we were like waiting for the shift to happen. Mm-hmm. Now we're in the shift. Now we're like dissolving all of that old stuff. And so it's happening. It's now. And the rate at which more and more light is coming in, feels like it's happening faster and faster. It feels like we're even having contact with other beings like 3i Atlas and R2 Swan that are in our solar system. Mm-hmm. It feels like we've got higher frequency beings that are very much wanting to support our Earth in ascension. So what I'm getting is that time is speeding up and this process is happening quicker because more and more people are getting on board and going, yes, actually, I want to live in a place that's more peaceful and loving. And so I'll do the work and I won't run away and be scared of my darkness. And in the past, we used to just blame others. We used to be like, oh, well, look at them with their darkness. Now we're taking responsibility. So it's even making it faster. So what I'm seeing is that in the birthing canal that we're in, like in this heaviness that we're shifting and releasing, there are moments of great expansion. So it's not like it's something in the future. It's actually like paying attention to your own personal moment when you've gone through a dark night of the soul or a tunnel of heaviness. When you get out to the other side, you've had massive mind expansion. You feel so much lighter. So it's happening all the time. And so the more we pay attention to it and notice these like personal expansions and then also notice them in the world, they are happening. Mm-hmm. And then that starts to expand more and more and more. So they're happening on a small rate. They're going to expand bigger. And I feel like within the next 3 years, there's going to be a huge expansion. And then within 5 years from now, it's like, more and more the feminine energy leading and heart-led energy leading and guiding, more of the presence of being rather than pushing and controlling. So it's soon.
Okay, that's good news. And we just got a minute or two left, but I'm just, do you have a practice, something simple to share with our audience that can help when they're feeling a little bit overwhelmed or they're feeling like, you know, they don't know which way to turn?
Yes, definitely. Especially during this time on Earth. Mm-hmm. So when you feel overwhelmed, anxiety, like what that means is you've had a fear, which is a contraction, which cools. It's then followed by anxiety, or what we actually know as excess energy starts to enter your system to counterbalance. Mm-hmm. So it's divine perfection. Don't see it as a problem. Mm-hmm. Excess energy is running through your system and you want to help to get it out so that it's not stuck in your body. Mm-hmm. Take a deep breath in. And as you breathe out, sigh and then shake, shake. Shake. You can shake all the way from your head to your toes. Shake every part of your body, shaking that excess energy out. And take a few more deep breaths in. The breath in is bringing light and peace to every cell in your body. And the out breath is releasing and creating a harmony and a counterbalance, bringing you back to neutral and harmony. And also the shaking, it's really, scientists are even proving it. It's powerful. People feel massively different afterwards. So it's a great tool and it's something that's easy and simple.
Beautiful, beautiful. Natalie, thank you so, so much. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to come on my show. If people want to learn more about you or get in touch with you, where would they find you online? How would they reach out to you?
Yes, there's three places where I have community. Mm-hmm. There's my website, natalienamaste.com. Mm-hmm. And go and explore. There's a lot of resources there, free meditation on the first page. Mm-hmm. And then my YouTube community where I channel messages and energy updates about what's coming. That's Natalie Namaste Healer. Mm-hmm. And my Instagram where I give powerful tools which can help you with the day-to-day. You know, we're still human. Even though we're a soul, we still got human stuff to move through. And so my Instagram is Natalie Namaste with an underscore at the end.
Okay, beautiful. Natalie, thank you so, so much. I so appreciate you. And I hope one day that we can meet in person, either when you decide to visit New York or I decide to visit Nicaragua, where you're located.
Oh, that would be so wonderful. Yeah. Thank you. I've thoroughly enjoyed spending this time together.
Same here. Thank you so much. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. So thank you all for taking the time to listen to our show this week. And don't forget, we do have a number of great shows on the network. Have you listened to Beneath the Calm or The Expansion Room? Go to talkradio.nyc and check out all the shows on the network. Thank you all for tuning in. Take care. We will talk to you all next week.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Bronku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.